As I've already said in the beginning, that is, before the loss of the continent of Atlantis, the three-brained beings of your planet also had an approximate understanding of the holy planet Purgatory, and there even existed several legomenisms about it. After the loss of that continent, certain fragments of these legomenisms were preserved intact by learned beings of that time who happened to survive, and these fragments began to be transmitted from generation to generation. But later, when that peculiar disease of theirs, which I characterized by the word wiseacring, arose in the psyche of these strange three-brained beings, they began to wiseacre with this fragmentary information about the holy planet Purgatory in such a way that in the psyche of beings of subsequent generations, representations and conceptions began to be formed and fixed, which are defined to perfection by certain exclamations of our highly esteemed, incomparable Mulla Nasruddin, consisting of the following being sound. Chut, zo, urt. And as for those fragments of the legomenism concerning the holy planet which continued to be transmitted from generation to generation through genuine initiates there, they came down almost unchanged to a relatively recent epoch, that is, to what is called the Babylonian epoch. But then, owing to the agitation of mind that seized everyone in Babylon and was due, as I've already told you, to the learned beings of new formation, with various properties unbecoming to three-brained beings, these fragments gradually became distorted and ultimately turned to dust. In spite of the fact that the initiates of that epoch were still relatively normal, responsible beings who did not change their ideals as easily as most contemporary beings, for instance, as easily as the London foo-foo, change their gloves, yet the psychosis which then seized all these strange three-brained beings in their desire to find out at any cost whether they had a soul and whether it was immortal was so strong and so widespread that this unhealthy need of their psyche stirred up and infected the minds of even the genuine initiates there, who under the influence of this psychosis introduced into the legomenism relating to the holy planet Purgatory such a kabur chubur that from sheer pleasure the tail of our Lucifer turned a shade of the color tango. The confusion in the minds of the initiated beings of the planet Earth at that time came about, in my opinion, chiefly because of that beautiful theory of the Babylonian dualists, according to which there exists in some other world a paradise and a hell. And it was just these two expressions, namely paradise and hell, which, in my opinion, were the cause of all the subsequent gibberish. The point is that one of the legomenisms about the holy planet Purgatory indeed contained both of these words, heaven and hell. But I do not know whether the two words used by the Babylonian dualists were taken directly from the legomenism, or whether they were used by coincidence, be that as it may. In the legomenisms about the holy planet Purgatory, those two words express the following concepts. The word paradise referred to the magnificence and richness of that holy planet. And the word hell referred to that inner state experienced by the highest being bodies who dwell there, a state of constant anguish, grief, and oppression. One of the legomenisms even gave a detailed explanation of the causes of this state of theirs. It was said that these highest being parts, or souls, having finally reached this holy planet after incredible sufferings and conscious labors, and having seen and understood the reality and significance of everything existing, and above all, seeing our common Father Endlessness himself so near and so often, became aware that because of the undesirable elements present in them, they were still unable to help him in the fulfillment of his most sacred tasks for the good of our whole megalocosmos. And so, those two words were evidently just why the poor initiates of that time, infected by the general psychosis, imagined that in that fantastic and beautiful theory of the future Babylonian Hasnamusis, the same things were spoken of, only more fully, and they then began half-consciously to insert certain details from this fantastic theory into the legomenisms concerning the holy planet. Afterwards, all this information, passing from generation to generation, blossomed out with such embellishments as our dear Mullah Nasruddin expresses by the word Kralkanatan Shakamaka. After what I have just told you, my boy, you can judge what kind of notions and images exist nowadays on your planet about what is called the question of the beyond. It can truly be said that if these concepts and notions of your eccentrics were heard by our hens, they would laugh so hysterically that the same thing might happen to them as happens to your favorites when they take what is called castor oil. So, that you may sense and understand better, to the point of sublime illumination, the meaning of the expressions I just used, hens, laughter, and castor oil, I must tell you about another consequence of that cunning wiseacring of these favorites of yours. In this case, concerning the question of the being Exio Heri, as this will give you additional data for elucidating in a concrete way certain particularities that I have already indicated of the fundamental sacred cosmic law of Heptapariparshanakh. After the loss of the continent of Atlantis, certain knowledge concerning the origin and significance of this same being Exio Heri also survived, and this too passed from generation to generation. Well, about 30 or 35 of their centuries ago, after one of their big processes of reciprocal destruction, when most of your favorites, as usually happens there after these terrible excesses, again begin to see reality more often and to be less satisfied with the conditions of their ordinary existence, it so happened that certain of them who had sensed very strongly the emptiness of their existence and were seeking a means of somehow filling this emptiness found out about these surviving fragments of knowledge bearing on the authentic significance of being Exio Heri. In this fragmentary yet authentic information, it was very convincingly indicated that by means of the substance Exio Heri, or sperm, formed in them, it was possible to perfect oneself. But, unfortunately for them, they found no indications in these surviving fragments of what had to be done, and precisely how it was to be done. Certain of them began to think and strive persistently to understand somehow what must be done in order to attain self-perfection by means of this substance inevitably formed in their presence. These serious ponderings of theirs led them to the conviction that their self-perfecting could doubtless be actualized simply by abstaining from the ejection in the habitual manner of this substance. formed in them, called sperm, and certain of them decided to unite and exist together in order to verify and practice whether such abstinence could indeed give the expected results. But however hard these beings of your planet, who were first to be interested in this question, strove to resolve it, they arrived at nothing, and it was only their descendants of the second generation, after long conscious observations and intensive active mentation, who at last categorically understood that this was indeed possible, but exclusively on condition of the ceaseless fulfillment of being Paktog duty. And certain of the beings of this second generation, as well as of the two subsequent generations, after seriously devoting themselves to this, did indeed attain the expected results. But from the fourth generation on, these beings, who were still interested in this question, were no longer followers from essence conviction, but from a property called imitation, which by that time had become inherent in these terrestrial three-brained beings. Yet, they also began to exist together and to do, as it were, the same thing. So from that time, and even down to the present, these adepts continue to organize themselves in separate groups and sometimes form substantial sects of different denominations, and basing their aim on this abstinence, exist together in isolated communities. These places of theirs for segregated communal existence are called monasteries, and the beings belonging to these sects, monks. At the present time, very many of these monasteries exist there, and a large number of monks who enter them do indeed strictly abstain from that ejection in the habitual way of the being exiohari formed in them. But of course, this abstinence of theirs never gives any sensible result. And this is because the thought never enters the head of these hapless contemporary monks, that although it is indeed possible to perfect themselves by means of this substance, this can proceed only if the second and third being foods are intentionally absorbed and consciously digested in one's presence, which is possible only for one who has already accustomed all the parts of his presence to fulfill consciously both sacred being Paktog duties, that is, conscious labor and intentional suffering. It is, however, unjust to say that no sensible result at all obtained by these monks. They have even obtained sensible results of two independent kinds, so that you may understand why the abstinence of these contemporary monks produces two different kinds of results. I must tell you once more that in accordance with the fundamental sacred cosmic law of Heptaparaparshanak, if any formation, large or small, existing in our megalocosmos, fails to receive in the process of its evolution corresponding help from outside at the time of its passing through both medallions of the sacred Heptaparaparshanak, it begins to involve back to the state from which it began its evolution. It is the same, of course, for the definite cosmic substance that is formed in the presence of these terrestrial abstaining monks. And so, my boy, since these terrestrial monks, particularly the contemporary ones, do not intentionally help the further evolution of this substance, inevitably formed in them from the constant use of the first being food, that is, having ceased to actualize being parked-cogged duty in their common presence, intentionally or even automatically, and since at the same time they do not remove it from themselves in the normal way, foreseen by nature, this substance begins to involve in them, and during this involution of being exiohari or sperm, among the many transient substances formed in their common presence by this involutionary process, a definite substance is elaborated with the property of exerting two kinds of action on the general functioning of the planetary body of a being. The first kind of action of this definite substance consists in promoting the deposit of superfluous caratsiag, or as they call it there, fat. And the second promotes the arising and spreading over the whole planetary body of what are called poison insocurian vibrations. In the first case, these terrestrial abstaining monks become so extraordinarily fat that indeed one sometimes meets specimens among them with such an abundant deposit of fat that they could give many points to that form of being your favorites purposely overfeed in order to increase this fat in their planetary bodies. And this form of being they call a pig. In the second case, on the contrary, these abstaining monks become, as is usually said there, thin as a rail. And the penetrating action of the poison-oscurian vibrations is evident chiefly in their general psyche, which becomes sharply dual with manifestations of two diametrically opposite kinds, the outer and visible for show, sensed by everyone around them, and the inner and hidden, which the ordinary beings there, especially the contemporary ones, are entirely incapable of perceiving or detecting. In other words, in their outer visible manifestations, these poison and Oscurian monks appear to be what your favorites would describe as bigots of the highest degree. And in their secret inner manifestation, hidden from others, what your favorites would call errant cynics, also of the highest rank. As for why the involutionary process of the exohary among certain of the abstaining monks produces poison and Oscurian vibrations instead of depositing fat, there even exists a very detailed theory worked out several centuries ago by a certain what is called Catholic monk, who proved conclusively that this happens because in the first years of their existence, these thin monks busy themselves very zealously with that occupation from which, as is known even to contemporary medicine, pimples generally appear on the faces of young beings there. So that you may represent to yourself and fully understand the significance of this sort of abstinence among those contemporary monks, it remains for me to add that during my last sojourn on the planet Earth, I became convinced that thanks only to the results of the involutionary process of the exohary and these unfortunate abstaining monks, the crystallization of various consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabuffer in their common presence has become greatly facilitated and is therefore increased. At this point in his narrative, Beelzebub was interrupted by a ship's servant who handed him a light of chandros. He put it to his ear and began to listen to the contents.